Hello, pod peeps. Welcome back to the Possibilities, Options, and Dreams podcast with the Entrepreneur Source, where we empower individuals to identify, pursue, and achieve their dreams of self-sufficiency. It's Mary and Mel here to kick off today's podcast and started the day off right. We've got our coffees, we've got our drinks. I had my morning walk. My cortisol's down. Melissa, how are you doing?
We are feeling good. I got my workout in, so don't worry. But to get us kind of in the zone and ready for all the things we're talking about today, Mary, wanted to kind of get into what's your mindset moment from this week so far? So like a positive focus or an aha moment or something like that.
Okay, well, I actually am really excited about mine. So I recently celebrated my 5-year anniversary with TES, which is a big deal on its own just because it's literally the biggest commitment I've ever made in my life.
And we're happy about that, by the way, that we have gotten the last 5 years with you, so that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's been a win-win on both sides. So, but just thinking, if you think about possibilities, and if you had asked me 5 years ago or told me 5 years ago that I was going to be here today, I maybe would have run away, like, because it was, I just had no idea. But if I also look at where I was 5 years and the opportunities and possibilities that have presented themselves throughout the last, you know, half a decade, it's incredible what can happen and what you can experience when you're open to it. So it's just really exciting to kind of reflect and look back on, and I feel really lucky. So that was mine.
All right. And then mine's pretty broad, but it's basically mindset impacts everything. Mm-hmm. So that came up in a conversation earlier this week, and really, like, regardless of if it's a career, a job, personal, fitness, wellness, whatever, my mindset impacts how I approach it and my perspective, and really impacts what's possible for me with everything. So for example, like if I'm looking at, oh my gosh, I have so much to do, there's all these tasks, to-dos at work, instead of making that like a negative, it's like, what's my mindset around that? What am I doing? What am I impacting by doing these different things? And that in and of itself kind of opens up me and myself to what's possible, essentially. So anyway, it's just very general, but it's a good little saying to kind of live by.
Absolutely, yeah. So true.
How you approach the situation makes a big deal. Just kind of laying the groundwork, but today I'm really excited to introduce two of our the fabulous ladies of TES. We have Tamara Loring, who heads up our brand ideology, and you've been with TES for what, 19 years now, T?
19 years. Funny story about that when you said 5 years has been the biggest commitment. When I started here, I actually told Terry, this is going to just be a short-term thing until I figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. And yes, 19 years later, I'm still loving it. And I'm so honored that I'm in charge of ideology at this point in time, because like you were talking about mindset, it's everything. And being part of the possibilities mindset and seeing so many opportunities where so many people see none, I mean, it's just so empowering. So,
it is. And just to hear you say that, we say you embody TES on two legs. You're the epitome of TES. So it's clear to see, that it was what you wanted to do when you grew up. And then we also have Marissa Freuss, who's our integrator, the most recent hat of many, and I think you started 10 years ago, right?
I did, yeah. And another funny story that Terry always likes to joke about, but I just think it talks about the journey and the possibilities that are available. But he always says, like, when we first hired you and brought you in, you didn't know a franchise from a French fry. And I always laugh because it's like, I think I did know that, but it's just the possibilities and the learning and the journey that you go through. But yeah, where we started 10 years ago and where we are today, it's just the possibilities are endless. So I'm excited to be here.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And you've also had a huge impact on the organization and with our coaches and things like that. So we're awesome to pick your brain a little bit, your brains together today. Yeah. What are your thoughts on all of that?
Oh my gosh. I am so excited to be talking about this because it truly is just a few of my favorite themes and topics from our book. So for those that are following along, just like Mary said, we're going to really be highlighting a few of the themes early on in chapter one. And for those that are wondering, what book are you talking about? So this is a book that we've authored word, and it's What Got You Here Won't Get You There, Your Career 2.0, A Survival Guide for the Battered Career and Investor Syndrome. And it's so great that we're kicking off with chapter one, because those are two themes that we're going to be talking about. So T, I'm excited to just ask you some questions and start to explain some of these themes a little bit further. One of the first themes we talk about in chapter one is the career revolution. So what is, and can you just provide some explanation about what is the career revolution that has taken place over these last 25 years?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think as we're all painfully aware, especially if we've lived here through the last few years, that, you know, the job market has dramatically changed, and it keeps on changing at warped speeds, mind you, right? So I wish I could say it's something that evolves very slowly and you can think about it and adapt to it, but it really isn't the reality. It changes so fast that it's basically a revolution of sorts, right? So that's what we mean by that.
Absolutely. And I think a few of the themes that we're going to talk about today are things that individuals could relate to so much. And so one of the themes we talk about is job security. And really the big question is there such a thing as job security in today's environment?
Well, I mean, it seems like, you know, every time there's a shift in the economy, so many employees experience, I mean, either layoffs or furloughs. Look at what happened again just here in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
Companies needed to downsize. They needed to temporarily shut down. They weren't sure whether they're going to open up their doors again. So, you know, if you think about just the things that we've witnessed here over the last 24 months, maybe 12 months, I mean, you tell me, does it feel like there's job security out there?
No. And it reminds me a lot of just stories that we hear relating with our own franchise business owners and career ownership coaches out there, and even the clients that they work with. And it's a really unfortunate theme that I think we get to hear just by being in the business that we are. But oftentimes, you know, people are saying things to us like, I've given my life to a job, right? I've missed children's games. I've traveled all the time. I don't get to do the things that I enjoy. And I just feel like I grind all day long. And at the end of the day, I was either laid off or shown the door. And I realized I gave all of that time and energy for what? So it just goes to show you that job security that you think you're striving for every day, it's not a thing at the end of the day. And a job is a job. And if someone feels that the time to lay you off is now, it doesn't really matter all of that time and effort and time away from family that you gave, you know, to that job. So really, and I think that that starts to shape up some of the realities of the career revolution. So can you talk about some of the realities of the career revolution?
Just reflecting back, you know, to when I was a child going to school, I remember teachers telling us, you know, you need to work hard, you need to study hard, because, you know, you want to be able to go and get that amazing job, right? And how many of our parents may have even said similar things? And so you grow up thinking it's a job that you want, but to what end? You were saying that, you know, it's like sometimes you dedicate your life to a job, and at a whim, the economy could change. You may have an amazing employer, but they don't have any control over whether they can even afford to give you a job or whether they can even stay in business. So, I mean, imagine that kind of pressure. So, you know, I feel like we're following a dream that's actually a myth, because is it the job that we're after, or is it something greater than that? So if we think that it's security, well, certainly we've already spoken about the fact that a job may or may not be able to offer you security. Certainly not something that, like what our parents were accustomed to, where maybe you put in 10, 20, 30 years with a job and you can actually retire with a pension. I mean, pension plans are something of the past.
Absolutely.
And, you know, even the other realities that we've been hit with, you guys are maybe a little bit young to remember, but when we went through the Great Recession, 2007, 2008, I'm still speaking to some of our clients that are still recovering from that, where their reactive investments, their 401ks, their pensions, their retirement, their money for retirement, turned into what they jokingly said into 201ks. So imagine the last 10 years they were trying to just rebuild to get to where they were, and now you know, we faced the pandemic and many people are feeling like they're starting over and over again. So, you know, those are some of the realities of the career revolution that we're facing, that it feels like you're working, 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 but are you actually stuck in this hamster wheel? Are you actually getting ahead?
Right.
And, you know, one of the other trade-offs you were talking about too is maybe you're investing time and you're doing it and you're not seeing your family grow up, or, you know, you're not able to invest the quality time you want there. So where's the balance in that? Yeah. Or even worse yet, you know, maybe you're investing all this time working on somebody else's dream.
Absolutely.
Versus your own dream.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking about some of those harsh, really, realities of the career revolution, does it affect a certain segment of the population more than another?
Oh, one would think,
yeah,
right? But no, absolutely not. I mean, once again, you know, when we speak to so many of the great people we get to interact with, you know, whether we're speaking to people who are in their 50s or maybe heading in their 60s, I mean, they're still young and vital. They're wondering what they're going to be doing for the next 20, 30, 40 years, yeah, so to speak. But they're saying that, you know, that they almost have to dumb down their resumes because their experience, their expertise is actually a liability. It's, yeah, not a benefit. So even though ageism or discrimination is illegal, right, they're definitely facing it.
For sure.
Right? So yeah, you know, so that's what maybe the older population is experiencing. But I mean, you guys tell me, you're the younger ones too. I mean, do any of your cohorts think that they're gonna stay with a company for 10, 20, 30 years? And even if they get a job, how long are they able to keep it? I mean, sure, so many young people,
yeah,
even, were,
yeah,
further here.
I don't mean to cut you off.
Yeah,
yeah,
you but know, yeah.
Friends, you know, even my age, when I tell them I celebrated 10 years at TES, they're shocked. Like, they're, yeah, like, I've already had 4 jobs in that time frame. So to your point, like, even for my age, and I'll let you guys comment on that too, it's shocking even for my own friends to hear that I've been somewhere for 10 years, you know? So it's, like you said, I think we all kind of face it, but what do you guys think?
That you've been here for 10 years and you enjoy it.
You know? And that's why I've been here 10 years. Now, so.
It goes, but I do think that I definitely feel privileged, and I don't take it for granted that my experience at TES, because same to your point, our friend group, my friends, they've literally experienced everything that you've talked about, whether being laid off, being, you know, out of their control, being in a toxic work environment, working for a manager that doesn't have that mentorship mentality or possibilities mindset and can feel threatened by someone who's like enthusiastic and eager to grow and to learn. And, you know, even just experiencing corporate politics, all of these different things that, you know, you talk about the corporate America, or just kind of some of the work environment characteristics that maybe people even take for granted. I think in some ways we might live in a bit of a TES bubble, or it's, you know, we've worked hard to create an environment that's not that way. Pretty much every single one of my friends outside of TES has experienced something very different. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know about Melissa, yeah, if you wanted to add anything.
I was going to say, yeah, battered career syndrome does not discriminate on age,
no,
at all. Because yeah, I have friends who have had multiple jobs, or, and I think T, what you were saying too about when you're going to school and kind of the job is held up on this pedestal as like, this is the be all end all.
Yeah.
This is what you're striving for. You get that job, you get the, you know, you're going for the 6 figures, like whatever it is. But we don't talk about, you know, what actually is it that you want, like the lifestyle, right?
That?
Right.
Yeah.
And the,
yeah,
trade-off that's going to come with
for
that.
Sure.
You don't talk about that at all,
yeah,
until you're actually in it. And then you're like, oh my gosh, wait,
yeah,
is this what I wanted?
Yeah.
Well, and then you keep on hunting for that job, like you guys are talking about some of your friends, right? So you just lost a job. Okay, now what is my goal? I need to get that next job. To what end? In the,
yeah,
book, it makes me think, you know, what JOB stands for. Did you guys see that acronym?
Just over broke.
Just over broke.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but that doesn't make me feel inspired.
Got that job.
Yeah. Got that job. And then never mind the career, right?
Yeah.
Like, because like when you were a child thinking like, what was I going to be? Whether it was an astronaut or a president, or, you know, I'm going to change the world. And now, you know, if you're just hunting from one job to the next, are you,
yeah,
actually even able to build that career? So,
no,
yeah, I think that's a perfect segue into what battered career syndrome is, right?
I know, and that's, yeah, right in the title, right, of the book, our little tagline, A Survival Guide for the Battered Career and Investor Syndrome. And I remember when I first started and I, you know, we went over the book and I read it and I looked at that, the battered career and investor syndrome. It just sounded so like harsh. I'm like, what is this? And are people actually experiencing this? And I know we spoke about some of our clients before, but as I got the opportunity to work with clients, you know, and our own coaches and to hear them tell their stories, I realized how important talking about the badder career and investor syndrome was, because there was a common theme and they were all experiencing exactly that. So I'm sure for some listeners, we've mentioned this a couple times, you are probably at the point wondering, what the heck is this? So can you talk more about what is the battered career syndrome?
Absolutely. And it's certainly not something we take lightly, right? I mean, if you think about battered spouses and things like that, I mean, it's a very, very vicious cycle. As a matter of fact, I remember in the early days when Terry, our founder, spoke about, you know, there's similarities to what, you know, people who are experiencing maybe domestic violence go through, similar to what, you know, people in careers are going through when they work for corporate America and they experience these layoffs and they feel like their identities have been stripped from them. And yet we didn't want to use that term because we were concerned that people were going to think we don't get how serious it is.
Yeah.
But it's actually our clients who said, oh my God, that is exactly what has been happening. It actually gives me goosebumps,
yeah.
Right? Because they felt like they had no purpose. They felt like they couldn't provide for their families. They felt like they really didn't have an identity. And to think that you work your entire life, you go to school, you actually incur student debt in order to then feel like this and feel like you don't have any options. I mean, so the battered career syndrome is absolutely real. But then you think about like, okay, so if you realize that you're in a toxic situation, why don't you do anything about it? And I mean, I'm certainly not a psychologist or anything like that, but it seems like when you don't know that you have options and you don't know what they are, you would rather deal with the devil you know than the devil that you don't, right? Because for many people, it's like, I still need to pay my mortgage. I still have these obligations. I need to put food on the table. So yeah, I hate my job. Yes, it's toxic, but what other options do I have? And so what you end up finding is people just repeat the pattern over and over and over again. I mean, it's, you know, in some way no different than maybe a New Year's resolution or something like that, right? Like, this is going to be the year that I'm going to change something. But unless something drastically changes to change your behavior and your habits, another year will pass and you're still there. And, you know, so that's what battered career syndrome is about. And I guess battered investor syndrome is something similar, right? Because depending on your investment strategy, you know, so many people, like I was talking about the Great Recession, were being financially responsible. They invested, they put away for their retirement funds and everything. And because it was a reactive investment, it's basically like gambling. Oh my gosh, I hope the stock market does well. And then they look at what happens and overnight, like magic, their equity or their retirement fund, bam, just plummeted. So, you know, just seeing that cycle where you are reactive and you're just hoping and praying for the best, that's what causes, you know, battered career and battered investor syndrome, because you're really not in a proactive position. You're in a reactive position, just kind of hoping and praying for the best.
Yeah, no, thank you. Such a good way to describe both of those. So I know we've been talking about some of the trade-offs throughout our conversation, but another byproduct of the career revolution is just the number of trade-offs employees are having to make just to keep their jobs. So any others that you wanted to talk about that maybe we haven't mentioned throughout our conversation so far?
Yeah, no, the two big ones are, I think, time, right? Whether it's time commuting, time away from your family. And you would think like now in this last year, things have changed, right? Because suddenly people don't need to commute as much. But what I've actually heard is that the work-life balance is still off, that people even working from home are so concerned that they're going to lose their job that they're actually struggling with the work-life balance. So instead of now investing 12 hours or 13 hours, they're actually investing 16 hours. They glued to their computer. And then the stress, when you don't have that balance and you have other family members around, right, you're probably not bringing the best version of yourself because you're there, but you're not 100% present. So certainly time is one of those big trade-offs, right? And the longer you work on somebody else's dream, the less time you'll actually have to work on yours, which is the big, the second big, biggest trade-off, right?
Sure.
Getting clarity about, you know, either you do something for yourself and you're proactive about that, or you're going to be doing something for somebody else. And that's okay, but just being aware about.
So something that I was thinking of, and I don't know if it's the right place to use this, but when you were talking about just the battered career syndrome, the battered investor syndrome, and even job security, right? And what we were talking about, we know colleagues and friends of ours that are, you know, constantly being laid off and going through the process of looking for a job. It's kind of like what we talk about, the definition of insanity, right? You keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, but that's just the definition of insanity. You know what you're signing up for with a job, right? You've already known the time that you've given prior to that and everything from a trade-off standpoint that you've given up, but yet you're still going and applying for that next job. It's just like doing that same thing over and over again. And so the first part of chapter one is really just talking about some of these harsh realities that we spoke about with you today, the battered career syndrome, the battered investor syndrome, the trade-offs that you're making. You know, is job security a thing? And it might sound just really kind of doom and gloom. And it's unfortunate, but that is the reality of it. But part two of chapter one, or the second part of that, is really starting to talk about exploring the possibilities, options, and dreams, and looking at that. And so we talk about the realities, but we start to get into just knowing and exploring those possibilities opens up this whole new mindset for you. And you realize that the job market is not the only path that you have to take. So do you want to just talk about, and we're going to be talking about this in our next podcast session. So definitely tune in for our next session, because we will start talking about just how to explore those possibilities. So do you want to talk just a little bit more about that?
Absolutely.
How much time do we have?
She lit up.
Look, you know, something that's near and dear to my heart. We have found that 75% of the adult population has a strong to very strong desire to want to be self-sufficient. And only about 5% are ready, willing, and able to do something about that desire. The other 70% would too if they had the proper education, if they had the opportunity to become aware about what their possibilities are. And that's exactly what that next segment is going to be about, right? It's giving yourself permission to learn. It's not about making any decisions. It's right. Just understanding what your options are. You owe it to yourself and your family to, at the very least, learn what it will take to move away from a time and effort economy where you're working like crazy, feeling the battered career or battered investor syndrome, to a results economy where you are actually able to dream like a kid and where failure is not an option. And I know it's almost going to sound too good to be true, but that is the space where we want people to get in. It's
absolutely
no coincidence that you've been here 5 years, that you've been here right. 10 years, and my short-term stint of 19 years,
no
right?
Big deal.
It's when you live in a world of abundance, you can see the possibilities. But you started off with something earlier on when you said it's about mindset. And really, everything we're talking about is, right, is mindset, because there's either a scarcity mindset or maybe you have limiting beliefs. You don't know what you don't know, and helping you see things from a different perspective, because this career revolution we're talking about is not a bad thing. What if it revolutionizes a life and gives you a life that's even better than the one that you've just left behind? So definitely tune in for next week so I can throw my candy in the lobby.
That was a good teaser though. Hopefully people are excited to learn about that. But
Well,
ladies, thank you so much for allowing
this
us to chat
amazing.
With you.
Yeah. I'm like jazzed up. I'm like, okay, like, where do I start?
Yeah.
Like, what do we do?
Who
can we? Who do I talk to about this next?
Yeah.
But thank you guys so much for joining us today. Thank you to everyone listening for joining us as we explore possibilities, options, and dreams. And keep an open mind and just remember what's possible.
Woo!
It's a wrap!